live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome in to today's show. We've got a lot to talk about, some head coaching news, some little Major League Baseball to get to, too. We're going to play some winners and losers with Major League Baseball so far through the winter. And, of course, your headline roundup coming up at the end of today's show. But I want to dive into it now. And, of course, if you want to be a part of the show, you can definitely do that, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Mike McCarthy's future in Dallas still kind of up in the air, but there is another player involved now, and things are getting interesting as far as this is going. Obviously, his contract with the Dallas Cowboys will actually expire tomorrow. So starting tomorrow, he will no longer be under contract with the Dallas Cowboys unless they can work something out at some point before that point in time. The Chicago Bears have actually requested an interview with Mike McCarthy. So they have rushed out to the Dallas Cowboys and they've said, hey, we would like to interview Mike. We're looking for a head coach. We think he could be a possible great fit. And we would like to at least bring him into Chicago and interview him to see what happens. Funny thing was yesterday, kind of after all, like, you know, because yesterday was the day where if you weren't making it into the postseason, you kind of had to go in and you had to clean out the locker and you had some team meetings and you met with the media for the last time for the season and all that stuff. So it was just interesting hearing Micah Parsons and some of the other players talk about Mike McCarthy, and they were just kind of all in the same boat of, look, we don't know what's going to happen. And even for Micah Parsons, he's like, I don't even know if I'm going to be with the Dallas Cowboys next year, right? I've got to figure out what's going to happen with my future. Apparently, he's going to be at the Cotton Bowl in the box with Jerry Jones this weekend. So maybe they'll be able to iron out those details then as they're watching Ohio State and Texas play in the college football playoffs. But Micah Parsons was like, look, aside from Mike McCarthy, I don't even know if I'll be a Dallas Cowboy in 2025. Who knows what could happen? And I think yesterday when this topic came up, it was kind of one of those things of, well, yeah, you know, you look at it, they'll probably keep him around for one more season. If he has a bad season, then they'll probably get rid of him, right? They'll probably sign him to a one-year deal. If it's a good season, they'll extend him. If it's a bad season, they will probably, you know, cut ties, let him go. Well, now that we've got Chicago involved, that puts a little bit more pressure on Jerry Jones, right? Because if Jerry Jones continues to drag his feet, which, hey, if Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb taught us anything he likes to do when it comes to contract negotiations, if that's the case, then it's going to be a very, very tough call for Mike McCarthy. If he goes and interviews with the Chicago Bears opening, loves it up there, thinks that they have a talented team, and they actually make an offer to him. Do I stay in Dallas where, you know, my future might be in jeopardy, especially if, you know, I have another mediocre or below 500 season next year? I could be out. Or do I take over and here in Chicago and have a fresh start? And it's going to be very interesting. Jerry Jones, still noncommittal, even within heading into the last 24 hours of Mike McCarthy's contract, still noncommittal on what he's going to do, but he did say, I wouldn't want anybody coaching who didn't want to be here. So I don't know if that's a shot at Mike McCarthy of saying, hey, if you go on this interview with Chicago, that tells me that you don't want to be here, and I really don't want you coaching if you don't want to be here. I don't know if that was like a direct shot at Mike McCarthy with that, but that definitely... it definitely sounds like there might be some interest there by Mike McCarthy towards the Chicago job, right? If Jerry Jones is coming out and saying, well, if I don't want anybody coaching that doesn't want to be here. If he's saying things like that, that does make me wonder if there's not any mutual interest with Mike McCarthy in Chicago. And then on the flip side of this, when you look at it for the Chicago Bears, would Mike McCarthy be a legitimate fit? Like, right? Would he be a good coach for them that can get them turned around in the right direction? You look at what he did with the Packers, and I think with his win totals, he's won over 100 games, and I think he's like 12th all-time in win totals as a head coach in the NFL. Like, that's not bad company to be a part of. So I think that, you know, Mike McCarthy would be a solid option. He's a guy who knows how to have success. He's a guy who's won a Super Bowl as a head coach. I think, honestly and truthfully, I know a lot of people are going to look at it and go, well, Mike McCarthy stunk it up in Dallas. No, Mike McCarthy has had to deal with the hand that he was dealt, right? If you get dealt three or four bad hands in a row in a poker game, that doesn't make you a bad poker player. It just means you had crappy hands, right? Same for Mike McCarthy. He can be a good coach, but if his team does not have everything that it needs to be successful because its owner slash GM did not do his job in the offseason, then that's not on Mike McCarthy if they're a bad football team. You're listening to The Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Join in on the conversation today, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Talking about Mike McCarthy and his future with the Dallas Cowboys, or, hey, maybe even with the Chicago Bears. And I really do think that I think Mike McCarthy would be a solid option. I know Ronald, longtime caller and texter of the show here on The Glass Half Full, and we do appreciate it. Ronald says Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley would be another great name for that Chicago job. But I do think if you want to go with a guy who has NFL experience, I think Mike McCarthy would definitely be a solid fan or coach to go after and get. Again, he's got championship caliber experience inside the NFL. He knows what he's doing, and he'll actually have a GM and an owner who would actually go and get him the players he needs, right? How many times have we talked about it with Jerry Jones? They needed help with CeeDee Lamb. They needed to find a wide receiver number two to go with CeeDee Lamb. Did not bother to go find one. Instead, he drug out conversations and contract extensions with CeeDee Lamb way longer than it should have been. Right? They needed to go get offensive line help. They could not get the offensive line help they needed. They needed solid running game. And you go out and you get Zeke Elliott, who, let's be honest, is at the end of things with his time in the NFL. I just don't think Zeke has it left in him anymore. I don't know what happened between, you know, him being what he was for the Cowboys when they drafted him coming out of Ohio State to this point. I don't know if it's just natural attrition over the course of his career or what it was, but I mean, even now, and we're going to talk about it here in just a little bit, the Chargers planning on signing him to their practice squad, right? So Zeke Elliott's going to be a part of a practice squad in the NFL. You ever think you would hear that sentence? That's just how much it's fallen off for him. So I don't know why, when you had guys like, you had an opportunity, Saquon Barkley was going to be a free agent. You let Pollard go to the Titans. You had Derrick Henry out there you could have gone and got. You needed a better run game, and you let a quality running back go, and then you actually don't bother going after any of the top candidates out there in the running back market. Jerry Jones did not do his job filling the pantry for what the Cowboys needed to make dinner. You get what I'm saying? They needed certain ingredients to make dinner, and Jerry Jones went and brought them McDonald's. Just doesn't work that way. You can't do that. Mike McCarthy goes to Chicago. He's going to have a quarterback in Caleb Williams who progressed over the course of the season. You got Odunze at the receiver position. You go out and get another one or two receivers. Tyreek Hill wants out of Miami. Maybe Chicago looks into bringing him up to the Windy City. And then all of a sudden, Mike McCarthy's starting to put together a pretty good-looking team there that he can coach. I don't blame the lack of success of Mike McCarthy in Dallas on Mike McCarthy. I blame full-heartedly Jerry Jones as the owner and the GM. If Mike McCarthy is the chef, sticking with this whole theme, if Mike McCarthy is the chef, he's the head chef in the kitchen. Jerry Jones, as the owner of the restaurant, did not get him the supplies and the ingredients he needed to make a 5-star Michelin meal. He didn't do it. We got to get off of the whole restaurant thing now. I'm starting to get hungry. Breakfast was a while ago for me, so we'll steer away from that. But either way, what happens with Mike McCarthy moving forward in the future, whether it is Dallas, whether it's Chicago, whether it's somebody else, I think whenever he does, if he does go to another team, it is definitely you are going to see a difference in that team with Mike McCarthy as the head coach compared to what we've seen from him in Dallas, because he is going to have a legitimate shot at having a GM and an owner who actually wants to go and get the pieces they need to win football games. That's been the issue in Dallas, not Mike McCarthy. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Tuesday morning. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. Switch gears now. Robert Kraft kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday about the firing of Gerard Mayo. And I'm not a fan of the decision to fire Gerard Mayo. I think it was a bad call. But we actually have some quotes from Robert Kraft on this. He spoke to the media yesterday. And this is what Robert Kraft had to say.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Gerard because I put him in an untenable situation. I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league. He just needed more time before taking the job. In the end, I'm a fan of this team first, and now I have to go out and find a coach who can get us back to the playoffs and hopefully championships.
Yeah, that's part of what Robert Kraft had to say yesterday about firing Gerard Mayo. It's a load of manure. It's ridiculous to fire a guy after one season, after his only season of being a head coach, by the way. When you have, just look at the overall landscape of this New England Patriots organization. Is Robert Kraft delusional in the thinking that he still has Tom Brady at quarterback? That he still has Edelman and all those other guys and Gronk out there on the field? Your team is a dumpster fire right now, and it has been the last 2 or 3 years since Tom Brady left. Right? We kind of saw that when Tom Brady left, there was a noticeable drop-off. And it kind of had a lot of people questioning Bill Belichick as a coach. Not saying he's not great, but maybe he's not quite as great as we thought he was. Maybe he just had a generational quarterback in Tom Brady that made him look a lot better than what he actually was. Because what happens with the Bucs when Tom Brady goes down there? They win a Super Bowl the very first season. Maybe that success was more Tom Brady than it was Bill Belichick. Because ever since Brady left, that team in New England has just, I can't really whistle right now, but you know the point I'm trying to make. They've nosedived. And it has been, it's been sad to see. It's been sad to watch this team just continue, whether it's been Mac Jones or the 3 or 4 quarterbacks they've rolled out over the course of this past season. When your team is a dumpster fire, it is going to take a little while to build it back up. You're not just going to have a head coach come in year one and flip things around. This is not a remodel show on HGTV where they flip an entire house in 30 minutes. I'm going to tell you right now, Robert Kraft, that actually takes about a year or so worth of work and filming for them to get that done. They just compress it into 30 minutes. You can't compress an NFL team into being a success overnight when they're this bad as the New England Patriots are. So to throw Gerard Mayo under the bus because he didn't do a good enough job year one, again, I go back to Mike McCarthy. I don't blame Mike McCarthy for the failure that he's had in Dallas this season. I blame it on Jerry Jones as the owner and GM. he didn't have the tools necessary to coach a successful football team. And you look at that team and you compare it to the New England Patriots, do you really think Gerard Mayo had tools that set him up to be successful year one? Absolutely no, he did not. He did the best he could with what he had. Again, if you're dealt a bad hand in poker, it doesn't make you a bad poker player. It means you just had a bad hand. Gerard Mayo had the worst hand you could possibly have with the New England Patriots this year. Because there was no quarterback, first and foremost. They didn't know who their quarterback was. Case in point, they drafted two in the draft last year because they didn't know if the one that they drafted would actually be good enough to be their franchise guy, so they went and got another one just to be on the safe side. And none of them have panned out. The New England Patriots are a bad franchise right now. It's not Gerard Mayo's fault. To sit there and say, oh, Gerard Mayo, I think he can be a good head coach in the NFL, but he just wasn't ready. He needed more time before he became a head coach. Well, then why did you hire him to begin with? If you thought he needed more time, why did you hire him? You want Mike Vrabel now. Why didn't you go get Mike Vrabel a year ago and avoid doing this to Gerard Mayo? So Gerard Mayo has a failed coaching stint on his resume now because Robert Kraft gives him, what, a year? Was it even a calendar year? Because wasn't he hired in like January of 2024? So did he even get a full calendar year as head coach of the New England Patriots? I'm not entirely sure he did. But my point in all of this is when you're a bad team and a bad organization, you have to give that coach more time, especially if it is a coach that is still learning on the job. And Gerard Mayo, let's face it, was learning on the job. First time being a head coach, first time being a head coach in the NFL. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to be a Pee Wee football head coach, let alone be a head coach in the NFL, the highest level you can reach. I think this is just a bad look by Robert Kraft. It's a bad look by the New England Patriots. And if I'm any of these head coaches out there that are potentially looking for new jobs, I'm going to look at this and go, why the heck would I want to go there? Am I going to get a year and then I get fired? No, I'm not going to go there. They're not going to give me time to rebuild a team. They're not going to give me a time to go and get guys that I want to get and put together the team that I want to have on the field, running the schemes that I want to run. You're not going to give me time to do that. Why the heck would I want to take this job? Robert Kraft needs to wake up and realize he doesn't have Tom Brady and Gronkowski and Edelman and all those guys in the locker room anymore. It's a bad football team in New England. Gerard Mayo was doing the best with what he had, and he deserved a second season. And it's absolute BS that he got fired. And this is coming from somebody who's not necessarily the biggest New England Patriot fan. I'll be completely honest with you. I actually have rather enjoyed the last couple of seasons where they haven't been that successful. But I will say Gerard Mayo definitely, definitely deserved better. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more of the glass half full right after this.
Calling all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourselves for the ultimate sports talk experience. Tune in to Greeny with Mike Greenberg exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Weekdays from 9 to 11, Greeny brings you the most insightful analysis from the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball to college sports. Greeny dives deep into the stories that matter most with his unique perspective and unparalleled passion. He keeps you hooked from start to finish. Tune in to Greeny on ESPN Pensacola and fuel your sports obsession. It's a home run of a show.
Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:23 on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. Before we get to some Major League Baseball talk with some winners and losers, a couple of other quick headlines from the NFL I want to go over here. Looks like Kevin O'Connell's kind of squashing any opportunity there might be. So far, nobody's really requested an interview with him, but I guess, you know, kind of getting out ahead of that and making it well known. That way they don't try to actually request one with him. He says he's happy in Minnesota. It's where he feels at home. Doesn't see there to be any change there. Also, Chargers looking to sign Ezekiel Elliott to their practice squad. Add a little depth there at the running back position. Let's head to the phones now. Looks like we've got Ronald. Ronald, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mr. Jordan Glass, dude. I got a couple of things. First of all, that was a really good analogy with Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, the whole restaurant owner chef thing. As you said, dude, if the recipe calls for sugar and all you give me is salt, it doesn't matter how well I cook.
Absolutely.
Now, this is what I have, dude. I'm an NBA guy at my heart, dude. Big shout to Derrick Rose. They're retiring his jersey in Chicago. You hear a lot of talk about Allen Iverson, Westbrook. Derrick Rose is the single most athletic point guard I had ever seen, dude. This career was derailed with injuries, but man, big shouts to D Rose. So fast, so strong, man. That's all I got, Mr. Jordan Glass. You have a good day, sir.
Appreciate it, Ronald, as always. Quality call there, man. And definitely want to join in on the show like Ronald. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. And he's absolutely right. I mean, think of what we could have gotten from Derrick Rose if not for the injuries. I think it's absolutely well-deserved that they are retiring his rafters in the – or his jersey in the rafters there with the Bulls. And that video, man, was just absolutely incredible to see of them kind of them just telling him. And they were just kind of having a casual conversation. And they were like, and listen, next year when we retire your jersey in the rafters – and he just kind of stops and takes a step back and starts shaking his head. And it was that's one of those moments. It's right up there – and it's right up there when you see those videos of, like, the walk-ons who earn a scholarship in college football. And, like, they bring him up and talk, you know, they're saying something to him in, like, team meetings. And then all of a sudden, like, a family member will pop up on the video board behind him. And they'll be like, hey, just wanted to let you know that you got a full ride scholarship. I love videos like that with sports. So that Derrick Rose video is definitely one that, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out for sure. Major League Baseball here on the Glass Half Full, 850-623-1330. If you want to be a part of the show, you can text or call that number. Little winners and losers as we're now in 2025. We're, you know, what, about a month and a half or so away from pitchers and catchers reporting, probably about 2 months away from the start of spring training. So why not get into a little Major League Baseball winners and losers up until this point? We'll start, obviously, with the winners. The LA Dodgers, I think, got to be the top number one winner in Major League Baseball right now. They retained Teoscar Hernandez. They added Michael Conforto. They've added Ha-Seong Kim to the infield. Blake Snell added to the pitching rotation. That'll also have Clayton Kershaw and Blake Snell's former Tampa Bay Rays teammate Tyler Glass now, a.k.a. Baby Giraffe. So those additions right there. And then, oh, by the way, they still have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani. The reigning World Series champions did nothing this offseason but get better. And that's scary for any of the other, what, 30 teams, in 29, 30 teams involved in Major League Baseball. Yeah, so I think you're looking at it right now. The Dodgers, if you're heading into this season, they've got it. Just because of the moves they made, they have got to be the odds-on favorite to win the World Series again. And it's not going to be fun for a lot of people because the Dodgers are one of those teams that it's like you feel one or two ways with the Dodgers, right? It's not like with, like, the Braves or the Guardians, right? Like, to where it's like you either are a fan of them, you're not a fan of them, or you just don't really care either way about that team. It's kind of that way with teams like the Guardians and the Braves. You have teams who are fans, then you have teams who don't like them, like Phillies and Mets fans, but then you have people who are like Cincinnati Reds fans who are just like, yeah, no, the Atlanta Braves exist. It's fine. But I think with the Dodgers, just like with the Yankees, you either like them or you loathe them. There is no in-between. And so with the Dodgers continuing to get better and being right there with the, you know, reigning World Series champion already, and then they just continue to add players on, especially adding Blake Snell to that pitching rotation. I mean, three of your starting five for next year for the Dodgers will be Blake Snell, Clayton Kershaw, and Tyler Glasnow. If you are a team going into a three-game series against the Dodgers and that's the pitching that you're going to face, there's a strong likelihood you are getting swept in that series. I don't care who you are. That is a solid pitching staff that they've put together there. And then, like I said, with Conforto and with Kim, they've added depth into their infield. They've added depth into their outfield. And then they still have guys like Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Shohei Ohtani. And that's another one, Shohei Ohtani. Throw him in there. So four of the five, Shohei Ohtani, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, and Clayton Kershaw. Are you kidding me? And then, oh, by the way, put a bat in Shohei's hand and see what he can do. This Los Angeles Dodgers team is ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're just a casual baseball fan, you don't have an allegiance to one particular team, this is the team to watch in 2025. I'm telling you, I'm calling it right now. The Dodgers coming off of a World Series win, usually we don't see teams get this much better after winning the World Series. Because really, if you win the World Series, there's not a lot of areas you need to improve on unless you have a mass exodus. They did not have a mass exodus. If anything, they had the reverse of that. They had a lot of guys joining them and making them even better. So the Dodgers definitely a big-time winner in the offseason for Major League Baseball. It's the Glass Half Full, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, ESPN Pensacola. Thank you so much for tuning in. 850-623-1330. That is our studio line. You can text or call that, whichever one is more convenient for you. Feel free to do so if you want to chime in here. Talking a little winners and losers for Major League Baseball so far during the offseason. Continuing on with the winners here, the Yankees. Obviously, if we're going to talk about the West Coast Evil Empire, we've got to talk about the East Coast Evil Empire, because both of them are just gearing up to once again potentially meet in the World Series yet again. I will say, the Yankees did lose Juan Soto. He's with the Mets now. We'll talk about the Mets in just a second. But the Yankees did not wallow in their grief of losing Juan Soto very long. Instead, they go out and they sign Max Fried. They get Devin Williams and Cody Bellinger. And, oh, by the way, Stanton, Judge, Garrett Cole, all still back for the Yankees, too. So very similar to what we talked about with the Dodgers of going out and adding pieces to provide depth and making them better to go along with what is already going to be in place. I mean, the rich get richer. Literally. These are two of the richer teams in Major League Baseball. They have the money to just throw it at whoever they want, and that's why they end up with these players. So the Yankees, again, just adding depth across the board this offseason. I think they realized that's where they came up short in the postseason, why they ended up coming up short against the Dodgers in the World Series. They just did not have the depth to go through a full 162-game season plus the grueling schedule of the postseason. They needed to add more depth so they could go through that and actually win the championship. They've done that. And if I'm picking the Dodgers to be the National League favorite, I've got to go with the Yankees to be the American League favorite. As much as it pains me to do, to pick both evil empires on each coast, as much as it pains me to do, they've got to be the favorites right now, heading into the season. Now, obviously, how many times in Major League Baseball have we seen a team that was the favorite heading into the season actually go on to win the World Series? Actually, Major League Baseball, it's usually quite the opposite. If you're the heavy favorite going in, there's been occasions to where, obviously, you look at the Atlanta Braves and that run they had in the 90s, especially winning the NL East the way they did. Obviously, going into each season, they were a heavy favorite, and they had that success. So there are times where the teams continue to have that success, even while being the heavy preseason favorites, but there's also moments to where, you know, injuries, things like that kind of creep up, and, you know, when these big-name guys go out of the lineup, you forget to kind of look at who's going to be behind them on the team. So your team tends to drop off quite a bit and suffer. So, you know, we could see that with the Dodgers and the Yankees this year. But I rather doubt it with the teams that they are putting together. Our next winner here on our winners and losers for Major League Baseball's offseason so far, the New York Mets. Adding Juan Soto. Well, we'll call him Juan Soto. He swings the bat like it's a lightsaber, so go for it. But no, seriously, adding Juan Soto immediately makes them a contender. And like a serious contender, by the way. Not just like they'll get to the postseason. Yeah, they'll get to the wild card round. No, they're a legit contender. Adding Juan Soto makes them that much better. They still don't really want to get involved with long-term pitching contracts. So with guys like Blake Snell and any of those other big-name pitchers that were out there in the free agent market, and even the ones that still have yet to sign with somebody, don't expect it to be with the Mets. Mets don't want to get tied up in long-term pitching contracts. For whatever reason, that's just how they do things. They prefer to kind of piece together that pitching staff with a bunch of, you know, smaller name guys and make bigger names out of them, right? Kind of almost like what the Tampa Bay Rays do. They piece together things. They bring in this guy. They have this guy at AAA level, this guy at the AA level. They bring them up, and they piece together their own rotation without having to go and spend a lot of money on long-term contracts. Mets tend to do the same thing, even though they really don't have to, because the Mets do have the money, right? And speaking of the money, they're probably going to have to pay some money to Pete Alonso. Very well could have a new deal in place. But that deal, it's kind of a catch-22. You work out that new deal with Alonso, but I think that new deal is probably going to have an opt-out clause in it that Pete Alonso probably will take sooner rather than later. So I do think that is a catch-22 right there, but the keeping of Pete Alonso is going to be crucial for them in 2025. And I will say this, though. Adding Juan Soto does make them a contender, yes, but they still are the third best team in the NL East behind the Braves and behind the Phillies. Now, that may change because we're going to be talking about the Braves coming up here in just a little bit and how they haven't really done much this offseason and how that could hurt them. So who knows where that is all going to shake out and come out to play. I think they are lining themselves up to kind of make that jump to be the team in the NL East. But right now the Mets, I think, still need to add a few pieces. Honestly, if they could get out of their own stubborn way with those long-term pitching contracts and they could go out and get some big-name arms in that bullpen, I think that could be that next step to help push them closer towards the top of that NL East. How about our losers here on the Glass Half Full? ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, 850-623-1330 if you want to join in. Talking winners and losers for Major League Baseball. Our losers, the Toronto Blue Jays. Look, the Blue Jays have just had one heck of an offseason, and I don't mean that in a good way. They whiffed on Juan Soto. They whiffed on Corbin Burnes, and they still have yet to pay Vlad Guerrero Jr. He could go somewhere else. He could be somewhere else by the time we hit the season, and then they're looking around going, what do we have here in Toronto? The answer, not a lot. Not a lot. So Toronto just swinging and missing on just about everything this offseason. So they are definitely leading off here on the loser list. We'll stay inside that division there in the AL East. We'll go with the Baltimore Orioles next. Baltimore, over the course of the last two seasons, their win total has declined. They went from 101 wins in 2023 down to 91 last year. Under their general manager, the way that they do things there, they're not going to come out and try to one-up the Yankees and the Red Sox inside their division. They're not going to do that. So if the Red Sox go out and sign big-name players, if the Yankees go out and sign big-name players, the Orioles are not going to try to race and track them down. It's just not going to happen. That's not the way they play ball there. They did add Charlie Morton to their pitching staff, so that's going to help a little bit there in the bullpen. You're going to have that extra arm that can kind of come out. Also, Charlie Morton, a guy who you can put in the starting rotation if you needed to. Not quite sure how they're going to use him, whether he's going to be a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. But either way, Charlie Morton is a decent arm in the bullpen there for the Orioles. So that is a positive for them, but really kind of much like, and it's kind of the same common theme here with all of these teams that we have as losers. Just like with the Blue Jays, the Baltimore Orioles still haven't really done much of anything right now. The Atlanta Braves, surprisingly quiet this winter. Normally, they are very aggressive in the winter. They will go after players. I honestly thought they would go after Juan Soto, but they didn't really make a pitch towards him. I thought they would go after a couple of other guys, including Blake Snell. Didn't really make a pitch towards him. Very quiet this offseason for the Atlanta Braves. And that's why they need to be careful, because with the moves that the Mets are making, they're just kind of sitting here being contempt, not doing anything in the offseason, really. They could get passed by the New York Mets with the moves that they are making, especially the Juan Soto one. So Atlanta rounding out our list here of losers here on this winners and losers of Major League Baseball so far. Braves got to get active, got to get involved. Still a little bit of time for pitchers and catchers report. They can go out and they can find a couple of key guys and bring them into Atlanta. I don't know if maybe they're just happy with the team that they have overall, or maybe there's just not anything out there that they feel like they're comfortable with making an offer at. Either way, like I said, a very quiet winter for the Atlanta Braves for sure. Let's take another time out. When we come back, more of the glass half full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass at 9 a.m. right after Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Pensacola 1330 a.m. 99.1 FM.
It's The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola 1330 a.m. 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:42 on today's Glass Half Full this Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of the Glass Half Full today, you can do that. Text or call 850-623-1330. Again, that's 850-623-1330. Getting back into it now with a little college football. Obviously, we've got the college football playoff semifinals coming up this weekend with the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. We've got Notre Dame and Penn State. We've got Texas and Ohio State. We've got a lot of good football coming up this weekend between that and the NFL playoffs. I'm definitely excited for it. But I figured right now we kind of get prepped for those college football playoff games and take a look at the most impactful playoff game players that are left in these games. So obviously I think the top one here, I don't think you can look at any of these teams in the postseason and not point to this guy as being one of the reasons why his team is getting ready to play in the Cotton Bowl, and that's Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State. Definitely right there as being one of the top receivers in all of college football this year. Did kind of have like a quiet part in the middle of the season, right? Started off really well. Then he kind of dipped down a little bit. But, man, let me tell you something. In the postseason, he has been back with a vengeance, was a big part of their win over Oregon in the Rose Bowl, was a big part of their win over Tennessee in the opening round of the playoffs there at the Horseshoe. Jeremiah Smith has got to be the most impactful player. I don't know of an offensive skill player that means more to his team right now in the playoffs than Jeremiah Smith. Outside of our next guy we're going to talk about, Tyler Warren, the big tight end for Penn State. He's right up there with Jeremiah Smith because, honestly, whenever Penn State needs a big play, it's Tyler Warren. When Penn State needs a score, it's Tyler Warren because he's a big physical body. It doesn't matter what size corner you have, what size DB you have. If they get matched up on him, It's a matchup that favors Penn State. This guy is big. He is physical. He had two touchdowns in the win against Boise State. And I mean, the guy is just, he boxes you out. He climbs the ladder. He comes down with the football. He uses his body and his size to his advantage, especially in the end zone. And that's why he's been such a crucial part of this Penn State run that they're on, and that's why he's been such a big part of this team this year. The one game that really he's kind of been kept in check in was the Ohio State game that they lost earlier this season. Right? So Tyler Warren definitely is a big part of why Penn State is where they're at now, playing Notre Dame in a semifinal, and that's why he is right there at number two as far as the top impactful player Next, how about Riley Leonard at Notre Dame? You look at what Riley was able to do, and by the way, Riley, a product of the area from Fairhope, so I want to give shout-out to his family and friends over there if they happen to be listening here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Again, this is the glass half full. You want to jump in on the show and be a part of the conversation, 850-623-1330. You feel like there's another more impactful player in the college football playoff than the ones that we've mentioned so far? Hey, hop in and join the show. Let us know for sure. But yeah, like I was saying, Riley Leonard, what he did at Duke for the Blue Devils, I mean, he was a solid option. Like, he was a guy that when they needed a play, he stepped up and made a play. And was really, when he was at Duke, the reason they won some of the games that they won was because of him. And now he's at Notre Dame, and he's shown out this year for the Irish. And, you know, he did, you know, struggle throwing the ball against Georgia. Yeah, only had 90 yards. But what did he do? He didn't turn the football over. Right? And that's a guy I trust with this team. And I think that is why this Notre Dame coaching staff is not worried about the fact that he only had 90 yards passing against Georgia. Because even with that 90 yards passing, he still put that team in a position to win the football game. He still made sure he was not turning the football over. He was still making the right decisions and getting them to where they needed to be. So Riley Leonard for sure definitely is going to be impactful, especially coming up against this Penn State defense. He's going to have to throw for more than 90 yards against Penn State. I will say that. This weekend, he will have to throw for more than 90 yards against Penn State. But overall, when you look at him and his play on the season, I don't know if Notre Dame makes it to this point that they're at right now if they have another quarterback in place. So, yeah, absolutely. Riley Leonard means a lot to that Notre Dame team, especially on the defensive side. On the offensive side. On the defensive side, our first defensive player on this list of impactful players remaining in the college playoffs, how about Caleb Downs? Transfer from Alabama coming into Ohio State. No biggie this year, just 72 tackles, 6 PBUs, 7 tackles for losses. He's been an All-American this year for Ohio State. And, oh, by the way, is one of the big reasons why Ohio State is the number one team in the country on giving up big plays, as they give up the fewest plays of 30 yards or more in the entire country. They are tied with Iowa for that top spot, but still, they do not give up explosive big plays. Caleb Downs is an anchor on this defense. And again, you talk about the last two offenses that they went up against in Tennessee and Oregon, teams that are thriving on big plays. That's what their offense needs, are big plays. And guys like Caleb Downs are the reason that those offenses did not have success, and Ohio State was able to put up 40 burgers on both teams and win the game in blowout fashion. Caleb Downs is got to be, in my mind right now, when you look at the landscape of the playoffs, Caleb Downs has got to be the top safety in the college football playoffs right now. I mean, there are other guys. I mean, yes, there's Xavier Watts from Notre Dame. There are other guys in there that could potentially rival him and give him a little competition there. But I think just with what Caleb Downs is doing for the Buckeyes this year, coming from Alabama, and that's what's going to be key in this game against Texas, right? He's a guy coming from Alabama. He knows what to expect from an SEC-style offensive scheme. So going up against the Longhorns, he knows what to expect. He knows how those teams play football, and I think that is going to be beneficial to Ohio State in this game. Obviously, we're not going to make picks on these games until Thursday. I'm actually leaving, going out of town on Friday, so I will not be here. We will not have a glass half full on Friday. So we'll make our playoff game picks and our NFL playoff picks on Thursday. So we'll hold off our predictions until then. But if Ohio State does beat Texas, Caleb Downs is going to be a big reason why they do that. And that's why I say he's got to be the top safety right now in Well, I mean, across the board in college football, I mean, 72 tackles, he's an All-American, yeah. But right now, as far as the teams that are left standing in the playoffs, he's easily the best defensive player and best safety left out of the four teams remaining. Let's take a timeout. It'll be our final timeout. When we come back, we'll have our headline roundup, and we'll close out today's show. It's the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Get ready for the most adorable race of the year. The Ice Flyers present Wiener Dog Race Night, January 18th at 7 p.m. Watch these speedy little dachshunds dash across the ice in an unforgettable night of family fun. Want your Wiener Dog to be a racing champion? Sign up now at iceflyers.com. Don't miss this unique night of hockey and hilarious Wiener Dog racing. Get your tickets at the box office or Ticketmaster.com. Ice Flyers Wiener Dog Race Night, January 18th at 7 p.m.
Hey, Pensacola sports enthusiasts, get ready for an action-packed day of sports talk on ESPN Pensacola. Starting at 9 a.m., it's Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Then, from 11 to 2, buckle up for the Rich Eisen Show, where Rich dives deep into the day's biggest sports stories. At 2 p.m., don't miss the Paul Feinbaum Show, your ticket to the world of college football and beyond. And at 6 p.m., wrap up your day with Amber and Fitz. It's a lineup that hits out of the park on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Stay plugged into the sports conversation.
The Rich Eisen Show. Weekdays, 11 to 2, right after Greeny on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.9:55 here on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back in into the Glass Half Full. Couple more minutes of the show. If you want to be a part of them, you definitely can do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Taking a look at your headline roundup, the Chicago Bears have requested interview with Dallas head coach Mike McCarthy. This is very interesting because McCarthy's still trying to figure out what he's going to do with the Cowboys. His contract with them is set to expire tomorrow. Bears have also requested interviews with Detroit offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, just like everybody else who has an opening in the NFL. Also, Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores and Steelers offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. So all of those interviews have been requested by the Chicago Bears. Kevin O'Connell says, all these coaches getting interviews requested of them, don't request one with me because I am happy in Minnesota, and I'm looking forward to sticking around and being the guy here for quite some time, as he should. I mean, he's done a fantastic job there with the Vikings, and I mean, really, honestly, and truthfully, you look at the Vikings and where they're at and how good they are, it's really all been because of him, right? Kevin O'Connell has done a great job, especially with the quarterbacks. Look at what he was able to do with Kirk Cousins, right? And then you see the difference in Kirk Cousins when he goes to Atlanta. Sam Darnold, look at the way Sam Darnold played when he was with the Jets. Look at what he's done with the Vikings this year. There's not some magic drink that they're drinking there in Minnesota, all right? They're not going and bathing themselves in the waters of Lake Minnetonka, all right? It's not like what Prince was trying to tell Apollonia, all right? It ain't that. It's Kevin O'Connell, and it's his ability to coach these quarterbacks and get them in the right situation and make them confident in themselves to go out there and win football games. So if I'm the Vikings, I'm holding on to Kevin O'Connell as long as I possibly can. The L.A. Chargers heading into the postseason, they are going to look to add a little depth. They're going to be signing Ezekiel Elliott to their practice squad. Pending a physical, of course. He's still got to go get that physical. But again, Ezekiel Elliott just kind of tailing off. Obviously, he had such a great start to his career with the Cowboys, and then over time, it's just kind of slowly trailed off for him. This past season was just recently released by the Cowboys. Right there, you have 74 carries, 226 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That was Zeke Elliott's numbers this past season. He's 29 years old. Talked yesterday on the show about the short shelf life of an NFL running back. Zeke being 29, the numbers he's having, I'm not really surprised that there's a team trying to sign him to a practice squad. And I'll just leave it at that. North Dakota State, the Bison, they survived Montana State. Montana State tried to make an epic comeback in the FCS National Championship game last night, which, by the way, if you watch that game, that was actually a really, really good ball game. So a lot of fun there. But they survived Montana State 35-32 to win their, what is this, like their 20th FCS national title in like the last 23, 24 years. There's been like a couple of seasons where they weren't able to get to it. But for the most part, North Dakota State, I know a lot of people want to complain about the college football playoffs when it was four teams or the BCS. It's like, oh, it's always the same team that plays and wins the championship. It's always the same handful of teams. Just be glad you're not a fan at the FCS level, because it's not a handful of teams. It's just one team, and it's North Dakota State, who has to play in a dome, by the way, because of how cold it gets during the winter. I mean, have you seen some, like, even the game last night where they were playing, I'm not quite sure where they were playing, but, man, it looked cold. And some of those guys from North Dakota State just out there running around with no sleeves on, because probably was nothing compared to what it is in North Dakota State. I get cold watching the movie Fargo, all right? I'm not even considering going to North Dakota State anytime soon to cover a game. I need about 12 jackets. That's going to do it for today's show. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out here on this Tuesday. We will be back with more Glass Half Full tomorrow right here on ESPN Pensacola. I'm Jordan Glass. Have a great Tuesday. Stay tuned. Greeny, he's coming up next.